Welcome to the Valley Point Podcast. Valley Point Church is a faith community located in Glen Mills, PA. Our mission is pointing people to real relationships and real significance. This talk kicks off week one of our series, Life Verse. Enjoy and thanks for listening.
All right, good morning and Happy New Year. Great to see you. I'm really excited about 2016, and we begin a new series today called Life Verse, and we're going to get into that in just a minute, and we're going to have a wonderful morning. So I want to personally thank you for being here, and I want to let you know, I think we're going to have a great day together. So before we jump into Life Verse, I want you to take your program. Will you do that? And inside of your program, you're going to find like 100 flyers in there. There's just a ton of stuff. It's the first Sunday of the new year, and so we have all kinds of different things launching, and I want to explain some of this to you because it's beneficial for all of us. So let's begin with this. The actual program has a connection card on the back side. That's that perforated thing that we ask you to tear off every week. I want everyone right now to begin the process of filling this out. And if you're with us for the very first time, I want to say welcome to Valley Point. Great to see you. If you'd simply put down as much information as you're comfortable with, that will be helpful. Now, for the rest of you who are used to this and you get tired of doing it and you have stopped doing it, just start doing it again. All right? It's a new year. You have a fresh start. Everybody needs to be doing this. It kind of helps the room get into the connection card. So just take some time to fill that out. You can put prayer requests on the back. And then later, toward the end of our gathering, we'll come back to the connection card. All right? So just fill it out. Just do it, even if you don't like it. All right? Let me walk you through some of the flyers that are there. I want to start with the art of marriage. It looks like this. If you'll pull that out, I want to explain this to you. It's something that is really exciting that's happening here at Valley Point. We're going to host a two-day marriage conference at our Bethel Road campus on January 22nd and 23rd. So if you want to strengthen your marriage, if you would like to take it to a new level, then I would encourage you to walk out at the Just For You table and register today. It is only $25, which is a bargain. That includes materials that you will receive. It includes food and snacks and jokes and everything else that's going to be a part of this. This is a video type of conference. We're going to be hearing from experts on the subjects of marriage and love and so on and so forth. It's going to be a great time. And space is limited. We can only handle so many people. So if that's stirring inside of you, like I should do that, please take care of registering today right at the Just For You table. The Art of Marriage, that's coming in January. It's going to be a great thing. All right, number two, the Love Day flyer. Our very first Love Day of 2016 is going to take place on January the 16th. It is a Saturday. And that is going to be a serving day for us. So if you know about our love days, sometimes we have love days where we collect items right here on Sunday and we ask you to bring stuff and then we deliver that to different organizations in need. This particular love day is a Saturday where we go out for about 3 hours and we serve and we love and we repair and we restore and renew and we expect nothing in return. It's just our way of giving back to the community. So on the back of that sheet, you can see our five different partners for January the 16th. We're going to be at the Unity Center. If you have been tracking with our Christmas initiative, they are part of it. And this is our deal with them that we said we would send a group of people to tear down their playground equipment there that is not safe and not usable so we can clear that area and they can bring in new equipment and everything else that they want that we're going to give them the funding for from our Christmas initiative. So if you want to be a part of getting that clear, well, that's a wonderful opportunity for you to be at the Unity Center. Pathways is in Wawa, PA, and we host birthday parties there for the families that are residents. The Sunday breakfast mission, we're going to be cleaning the dining areas, the halls, and the chapel. You may remember we had a collection day in December for the Sunday breakfast mission where we gave you grocery bags and asked you to go to Acme and bring back supplies. I want to report to you that you brought back 213 bags of groceries that were overflowing. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's great. That was like a token golf applause, I think. That's right. You're going to have the opportunity to improve on that in just a few minutes. So 213 bags, just a ton of food, and they were very grateful, and they've already given thanks to me, and I pass that on to you. For those of you who were involved, we had over 100 families participate, so we're going to go on this Saturday, and we're going to do some work at the mission there. And then we're going to work with two different food pantries, one in Prospect Park, Pennsylvania, and the other one right here in Garnet Valley at the Siloam United Methodist Church. And we're going to be doing some cleaning and packing and different stuff at these food pantries. So set this day aside, save the date. It's going to be a wonderful time, and I hope that you can be there. Number three, this is a fun one. It's our top three volunteer deeds as we start a new year. And you can see the different things that are listed there. We do have needs here as a growing church. We have to staff a lot of different areas. And if you have been coming to Valley Point, but maybe haven't jumped into a serving team yet, I would really encourage you to do that. It is a wonderful way to get to know people and also do something significant. And you can see our top three needs right now. Like, there are openings. So if you're bored to death and you're fearful that you're going to have nothing to do in 2016, we can help you with that, with one of these top three needs. And if you're interested, we actually have job descriptions for these top three needs at the Just For You table. And so if you like details and want to know exactly what you're getting into, ask for that job description. You'll be able to read everything that will be required of you. These commitments are to serve through June of 2016. If you look at your sheet, it says June 10, 16. We're a little past that in our historical time frame here. So just know that that's June of this year. And it's not something that you're going to have to do forever. If you get into it and you don't like it, you just have to do it for a few months and then you can move on to something else. So be sure to check that out. And again, if you want a job description, you can stop at Just For You and we'll take care of that for you and give you that information. Number four, life groups. Life groups begin again this month. And we say it this way. Life groups are a way for you to get out of rows, which is how we sit on Sunday, and that's fine. We're all here having a great time, right? All right, hopefully you are. We're having a great time in our rows. Life groups, they get us out of rows and into circles where we have the chance to know and be known. And so if you've been kicking the tires here at Valley Point, and if you're wondering if this is your home, I would encourage you to unpack your bags a bit further by signing up for a life group. We have 17 life groups that meet twice a month in different people's homes throughout the week. And you can see the nights there, your age demographic. You can put that down. That's helpful in placing you. If you look at the backside, there are different community groups that meet as well. If you can't do a life group, a community group is a great option for you. I would encourage you to go to the life group table in the lobby. If you have questions, you can take this. They'll be able to help you with absolutely everything. Really smart, capable people at that table, as well as all the tables out there. But the life group table has amazing people. And if you just want to talk to somebody, go talk to them and they'll get you connected. All right, number five, take out your talk notes. This is an exciting piece too, because it's time for the talk now. And I love this part. But if you turn it over to the additional notes side and then glance down to the financial update, you see there's our weekly budget there, our average weekly income through 52 weeks, our real home giving to date. Would you glance at that Christmas initiative for a moment if you haven't yet? Yeah, isn't that wonderful? I told the counters last week, I'm like, you guys couldn't throw in 10 bucks just to get us to 60? I'm like, come on. So we set a goal, if you don't know about this, of raising $60,000 from now to January the 10th. We have a couple of weeks yet to participate in this. And it's just really amazing. Your generosity, God moving in your hearts and in your lives to partner with these different organizations. And we raised basically $60,000 in 4 weeks. Really incredible. And that's a big win for us. If you're so inclined to help us get to that 60,000 mark, feel free to take care of that on your way out the door. And I would say too, if you've been thinking about the Christmas initiative and you knew you had a couple more weeks and you're planning for that, don't let this stop you. Because even if we exceed our goal of 60,000, which we will, no doubt, we give all of that away. All of it goes out the door. We don't keep anything for Valley Point Church. I want to let you know, in the past couple of years, we have given over now $120,000 away to different groups and organizations to help them do what they do in a more effective way. I'm so proud of you. Yeah, that's something to clap for. So proud of you and all of your hard work and what you're doing to help us be a bright light in this community and beyond. So again, if you want to continue to participate in that, there's still a few Sundays that are open for that. I also want to let you know our Christmas attendance for our Christmas Eve gatherings. We saw over 1,100 people walk through the doors for those three meetings. That's an 11% increase over 2014. So thank you for inviting. It was great to see full groups out, and we had a wonderful time. And on those nights, people trusted in Jesus alone to save them, which is always a big win as well. So we're on the move here at Valley Point, and these are exciting days and exciting times to be a part of what's happening here. And again, I just want to say thank you to all of you for being here, for being generous, for inviting, for serving. We had a ton of people serve at our Christmas Eve gatherings as well, just to make all of that work. Fantastic job. And we want to be sure that God really gets the credit, because he's the one working through us and in us to accomplish all of these wonderful things. And I am very excited about this new year and the different things that are going to happen. So thank you for being here. We're going to jump into life verse now. Before we do that, will you pray with me? Father, we just step into your presence, and we're so thankful for what we see happening here at Valley Point, and just the wonderful news, the good crowds, the generosity that is taking place, for how you're using this faith community to make a real difference in the lives of the people that are here, as well as the people who aren't here. God, I pray that you continue to use us to be a bright light in this community and beyond. We're so thankful that you are blessing us and using us. And God, I pray that as we enter this new year now, that you would help us to really work hard. Help us to be diligent. Help us to work with fervor, to put a smile on your face, and to honor you with our lives and what we say and what we do. God, give us a great time now as we jump into our Life Verse series. I pray that this would be transforming for all of us as we think about a verse or two to pick out and choose to anchor our souls for this year. God, use this to help us honor you with our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our two-week series today called Life Verse, and I am so excited about this. We're going to have a fun 2 weeks. So here's our big idea for today, and that is search and pick a verse, or two, or even three or four. And this is what I want everybody to be thinking about for a couple of weeks, from our kids to our students in middle school and high school, our college students, as well as all of our adults, that we would be thinking about how we can search and pick a verse or two. Let me say this. I love Life Verse. I absolutely love it. And it has become somewhat of a tradition for us here at Valley Point, as this is the fourth year that we have started our year with an emphasis on picking a verse to help anchor our souls. If you are new to Valley Point, you probably know that we don't do a lot of traditional things here. But this is one of our newer traditions, and I absolutely love it. If you've been around for a while and you have participated in LifeVerse in the past, then we are in for a lot of fun. Because here's the deal. The Bible is fun. And I really believe that. The Bible is a lot of fun. It's mysterious. It's confusing at times. It's even disturbing. But it is a lot of fun and arguably the greatest piece of literature ever. It really is. It has poetry, prophecy, biography, war, sex, betrayal. It has all of the elements of great literature. And I tell people all the time, even if you don't believe it, read it for the great literature that it is. Because it's the greatest piece of literature ever. There's not even a close second. A great piece of literature. So here at Valley Point, we have a very high view of Scripture. We believe this to be the words of God to us. And whether you hold an actual copy of the Word of God or you look at it on a device, however that works for you, we believe here at Valley Point this to be the words of God to us, which is absolutely an amazing thought. Like God's words, right here in my hands. And that's why every Sunday we take time to open the Word of God and look at a verse or two or a paragraph, and we walk through it and look at context and history, and we explain words because we want to know what God wants us to know. And so here at Valley Point, we have a very high view of Scripture, and that's why we look at it constantly. We want to know what God wants us to know. So today, here's how this is going to work, and I want you to follow me to the easel because this is going to be our flow here. So I want to share with you the Valley Point statement on Scripture, and we have a statement that kind of guides our thinking about all of this, and I think it's valuable information for you to know. So I'm going to share that statement with you, and then I'm going to talk about the uniqueness of Scripture. Scripture is very unique, maybe even kind of strange. I like the word unique. And that can actually be a sincere hang-up for a lot of people. And so I want to acknowledge that tension and just kind of talk about the uniqueness of Scripture. Then we're going to talk about the order of Scripture. How is it put together? And there is a chronological order to Scripture that you may not be aware of that really might make it come to life if you had an understanding of what that looks like. Then how do you choose a life verse? And this is not a complicated process. It's quite simple, actually. And so I want to share just a couple of steps with you that everybody in this room can do, even if you're not familiar with the Bible. Even if you're not interested in doing this, I want to challenge you to consider this. And so we're going to talk about how do you choose a life verse that's meaningful and invokes emotion inside of you that you can hang on to for the whole year. And then I'm going to wrap up our time by sharing with you my verse for this year. I'm really excited about my verse. I've been searching for about a month, and it's just a lot of fun for me, and I want to share that with you. So the Valley Point statement, the uniqueness of Scripture, the chronological order, how do you search for a life verse, and then I'm going to share my verse with you. Does that make sense? Are you still with me? Okay, wonderful. Valley Point Church has a statement on Scripture. And you may not know this, but on our website, we have a beliefs section. And there are several different statements there that are our core beliefs, kind of top shelf items. They're really important to us as a church, and they drive how we function. If you've never read through that, I would encourage you to go and click on that on our website and begin to read through those different beliefs. One of the statements that you will find there is a statement on the Bible itself. And so I want to share this with you. It sounds like this. The Bible is God's word to all people. It was written by human authors under the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is the supreme source of truth for our beliefs and life. Because it is inspired by God, and that's a key word there, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Because it is inspired by God, it is truth without any mixture of error. This is our statement on the Bible. And this is what we believe with everything inside of us. So it's a lot of words there. I want to break down these four statements and kind of explain them. So the first statement says the Bible is God's word to all people. In other words, the Bible shows us who God is, which is a very interesting thought. And again, this is another reason why we open it up and why we read, because God explains himself to us. He gives us attributes and tells us what he is like and how he functions, and we can discover all of that right here. The Bible is God's word, and he wants us to understand him, and so that's why he's given this to us, and it is for all people, not just for some people. It's for all people, those who believe, those who don't believe. The Bible is for everybody. So the Bible is God's word to all people. The second statement says, it was written by human authors under the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God carefully guided the process so that different human authors, using their own personalities and even their own writing styles, recorded exactly what God wanted them to record. And so again, the statement, it was written by human authors. God used real people in real places to record his thoughts, and God was making sure that they were being guided by the Holy Spirit. It's important to know the Bible just didn't drop out of the sky. It didn't come as a complete book. It was written by different people over a period of time, and these different authors didn't even have access to each other because some books were written before other authors were even alive. They didn't have the chance to converse, but God was guiding this whole process and using real people in real places to record exactly what he wanted us to know about himself. The third statement. It is the supreme source of truth for our beliefs and life. And this kind of speaks to the authority of Scripture. It has authority for us. I mean, we can go here, and there's something specific to the different things that we may be facing in life. And the Bible is authoritative. And then finally, because it is inspired by God, it is truth without any mixture of error. And there's that word inspired, and that's a very fascinating word. It actually means breathed out. And so when we say that the Bible is inspired by God, what we're communicating and what we're saying is that it's actually breathed out by God himself. Again, he used human authors and their personalities and their writing styles to record all of this, real people in real places. But God himself is the one who breathed this out. In theological circles, Valley Point would believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. Now, what does that mean? Well, verbal is talking about how inspiration extends to the actual words. So the words themselves, breathed out by God. And plenary means that inspiration extends to the entirety of Scripture, all of it. There's not bits and pieces that you can pick and choose and throw out. It's all for us. And so we believe here in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, all of the words are inspired and all of them are authoritative for us. Now, that concept stands in opposition to those who believe in the partial inspiration of Scripture. And there are theologians and other individuals who believe that parts of the Bible are inspired, like the doctrinal parts, the theological parts, and maybe some of the sensational pieces, the dramatic stories, or some of the history, maybe not so much inspired. It's partially inspired, but not all of it. Well, here at Valley Point, we believe it's all inspired. We believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. All the words are inspired, and all of it is authoritative for us. Again, we have a very high view of Scripture here. So let me just read this statement in its entirety again. The Bible is God's word to all people. It was written by human authors under the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is the supreme source of truth for our beliefs and life. Because it is inspired, or because it's breathed out by God, it is truth without any mixture of error. You know, I believe God is big enough and powerful enough to make sure that what we hold in our hands today is exactly what he wants us to have. I just believe that. God is big enough and powerful enough to make sure that what we have is exactly what he wants us to have. And again, this is why we want to encourage everybody to think about a verse or two. So scripture drives our beliefs here. We have a very high view of the Bible here at Valley Point, and that's our statement on scripture. Now, let's think about the uniqueness of the Bible. Again, it's a very unique book. And occasionally, I will have conversations with people who will say things like this: I don't believe that. And normally when they say that, they're referring to a sensational, dramatic story. For example, I don't believe that could happen. I don't believe people could cross a Red Sea and that water would stand up on its ends and that people, millions of people, the nation of Israel would walk across the dry riverbed of the Red Sea. I don't think that could happen. Or I don't think it's possible for someone to be swallowed by a big fish and to live inside of that fish for a few days and then to be vomited out onto dry land and continue to live. I don't believe that could happen. And because I don't believe that could happen, I want to dismiss some of those unique pieces. Well, I want to posit that uniqueness alone shouldn't make something too easily dismissed. And I don't think you can rule anything in or out just because of its uniqueness. And I think that's true whether we're talking about the Bible or about something else. I don't think you can rule anything in or out just because of its uniqueness. I found a statement recently by an author who speaks to the uniqueness of Scripture, and here's what he said. Uniqueness alone cannot argue for irreality. In other words, just because it's unique to me, or because I don't have a framework for understanding this or for processing it, doesn't mean we should dismiss it just because it is unique. The Bible is very unique. And that's actually one of the things that makes it stand alone. And uniqueness is okay. Uniqueness is okay. One of the things that makes the Bible very unique is its order and how it is put together. And I want to talk through this with you. So in your program, you also had a sheet that lists all of the books in the Bible. And I want you to look at the side that has two columns, an Old Testament column, and then to the right is a New Testament column. So be looking at that page right now. What you'll find in the Old Testament column is that there are 39 books that are listed there. These are all of the books that make up the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are 27 books. That gives us 66 total books in the Bible. The Bible is actually a collection of books that God breathed out using real people in real places. 66 books for us to discover. What is God like and what does he want for me? Really an incredible collection, the greatest piece of literature ever. Now, if you look, you'll find that there are different categories here. There's books that are all about the law. There's historical books, books that are designed to give us poetry. There are prophetic books. On the New Testament side, there are gospels that describe the life of Jesus, another history book. There are letters to different individuals and different people. And then there's one final book that points to a future that is coming. When we encourage people to read through the Bible, sometimes people say, well, I want to begin right at the front page, because that's how you read books, isn't it? I mean, that seems normal. You start right here and you just begin working your way through. Well, if you do that, you might find yourself in a bit of trouble. So if you go to the top left and you find Genesis, that is the first book in the Bible, and it describes creation and God forming and creating Adam and Eve and building a nation. And we've been walking through some of this stuff in our story series. And there's a wonderful storyline in Genesis that continues into Exodus, where we find God's people enslaved. And God raises up a leader by the name of Moses. And Moses leads his people out of Egypt. It is a tremendous exodus. And there's a wonderful storyline in Genesis and Exodus, and you'd probably enjoy reading that. But here's what would happen. Eventually, you'd come to Leviticus, and then Numbers and Deuteronomy, and there's just a lot of strange laws and customs that are there. And you would probably say, hey, what happened to the story? Why, it just took off. It disappeared. There's no people. There's just some strange things. And you might get very discouraged and think it to be too strange, too odd, and you would shut your Bible and say, I just can't make my way through this. So that's why I want to share with you the order of how the Bible can be read in a chronological kind of way. So when you pick up your copy of Scripture, it is not put together in a chronological way. What you find on the other side of the sheet, go ahead and flip that over, are all of the books of the Old Testament. And there's a chronological order here. So I want you to look at the middle column. It starts with Genesis, and then Exodus, and then there is Numbers. All right, you're with me. So this kind of describes the main storyline of ancient Israel, that middle column that takes you from Genesis all the way to the right with Nehemiah. That's the main storyline that you will find. And if you were to read through those books, you'd be able to fly through that, and you'd probably have a lot of fun discovering these different people and how God built his nation and what he did with them. Now, the other books, there's other books there listed above that column and also below. These are authors commenting and sharing their thoughts. It's like a journal on the events that are happening during that main storyline. And this is what makes the Bible so extraordinary. Because no other piece of literature really offers this. A collection of books where you have a main storyline, and then you have other authors and other books commenting on some of the things that are happening there and giving their thoughts and providing a greater context. Again, this is what makes the Bible so incredible. So, for example, find 1 Kings in that middle column. Do you see that there? Nod your head a bit so I know you're still with me. All right, 1 Kings. What we find in 1 Kings is the story of Solomon. Solomon becomes the third king of Israel after Saul and then David, who is Solomon's father. Eventually, Solomon becomes the king, and 1 Kings shares the historical aspect of his reign and what he did. I actually have been looking at 1 Kings recently because I'm writing for the story, which will continue in a couple of weeks. And when we enter back into the story, we will be in 1 Kings and we'll be talking about Solomon. So I wanted to point this out because here's what's interesting. 1 Kings gives us the story of Solomon. What you find above him or above 1 Kings are a bunch of different books and below some different books that provide commentary and these different authors' thoughts on what was happening during the reign of King Solomon. And so you can cross-check and you can get a tremendous perspective, really, on what was happening during this reign and during the life of Solomon from these different authors. If you look at the bottom of the page below 1 Kings, you'll find three books listed there, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. These are actually books written by Solomon himself. And so you have 1 Kings, the history of him. You have other authors sharing their thoughts about what was going on. You actually, in this particular case, have King Solomon himself sharing his own thoughts about what is going on. And again, this is what makes the Bible so extraordinary and why we need to pick it up and read it and find a verse or two, because no other piece of literature does this. You want to know what's going on with Ezra and Nehemiah? Well, you can read Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, or as I like to call him, Malachi, the great Italian prophet. Got to get the Italians included here. So if you want to know what's going on with Ezra and Nehemiah, you can read Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Esther. She shares thoughts on that as well. And again, this is why the Bible is really an incredible book. Now, I want you to go back to the other side. If you look at the New Testament column, it pretty much does the same thing here. starts with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They share the life and the story of Jesus and how he was born and what he did and what he said and what he taught and all the miracles that are there. That's the Gospels. After that, you have a book of history. It's Acts, and it talks about the beginning of the church and everything that happened there. And then what you find is a bunch of letters to individuals and or to churches that provide commentary of what's going on during the book of Acts and during that historical time frame. And then it all ends with a book that points to a future that is coming. Now, all of that to say, we owe it to ourselves, whether we believe this book or not, because it is so incredible and packaged in a very unique way, we owe it to ourselves to pick this up and to read it and to investigate and to struggle with all of its uniqueness and its weirdness, to let it speak into our lives. We owe it to ourselves to dig and search for a verse or two that will anchor our souls. And that's why I want to encourage everybody in here, our kids, our students, and all of our adults, to think about a verse. The Bible is that incredible. Which brings us to what is next on our list, and that is how. How do you pick a verse? I mean, if there are 66 books that have this unique order, how do you actually go about the process of picking out one or two or three that you want to remember for this year? Well, this is really not that complicated. And I want to share two steps with you that I think will be very helpful. And this is something everybody can do. And you can begin working on it today. So here's how you pick a life verse. Step number one is you pick your time, your place, and your plan. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but all three parts of this are very important. If you skip one, you're probably going to have a challenging time finding a life verse. So let's just think about this. Pick a time. When is it that you want to consistently open up the Word of God? I would encourage you to find a time and stick with that and build a habit on that time. If you leave it up to whenever you have the time, you're not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. So pick a time and a place. Often people won't think about place. I think place is vitally important. It's your chair time. It's that sacred spot where you know this is where I meet with God, this is where I read, this is where I have him talk to me and I talk to him, and this is just a very special place. And whether that's somewhere in your home or in your office, you get to choose that on your own. But I would encourage you to add space into this. You need the place where you're going to meet with God. Make that a priority. And then what's your plan? What are you going to actually do? Do you want to just open it up and point at something? You probably can do that. I wouldn't recommend that, though. I would encourage you to get a little more intentional and pick a plan. If you've never done anything like that, I would encourage you to check out YouVersion.com. It is an amazing website that will offer hundreds, if not thousands, of Bible reading plans. You can sign up online. They'll even send you an email about when you need to start, and they'll even begin to annoy you because they'll tell you you're behind. So they'll keep you accountable. Go to YouVersion.com and you can pick a plan there. And you can do 7-day plans, a month plan, 2 months, a year plan. You can tailor it to however you want to do this, but pick a plan. I also like to encourage people to read through the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Whatever day it is, you just read that chapter. Today is the 3rd of January. Read through chapter 3 in the 25 to 35 verses that are there. You might find God really speaking to you, and you'll find a verse there that might be what you want to use to anchor your soul. Proverbs is right in the middle of the Bible. You can find it. That's very doable. So the first part of how is you got to have your time, your place, and your plan. Get intentional about putting that together, and I think you'll find the Bible really coming to life for you. Here's the second step, and that is pick a verse. Just pick a verse. Don't overthink it. Just pick a verse. And I would encourage you to make it meaningful and memorable. It should be something that invokes emotion in you. Maybe you know what's coming in 2016 and there's some transitions there, or there's a life event that you know is going to take place, and maybe you want to find a verse that kind of speaks to that. Or maybe you have a lot of fear and trepidation as you approach this new year and you're really nervous about a lot of stuff. Well, maybe you want to find a verse that speaks to confidence and trust in God. All of these verses exist. We just have to do the hard work of searching. So pick a verse, make it meaningful and memorable. If you're a little unsure about that process, let me make it really easy for you, okay? So there's one final piece in your program that we haven't talked about yet. It is a sheet that says helpful life verses. And we put this together for you so that if it's intimidating to kind of look and you're not sure how to go about that process, these are very popular verses that people have chosen in the past. They're inspirational verses that talk about hope and confidence and joy. And perhaps you just want to read through this list here and choose something right from this page that would be your life verse. That is perfectly fine, and that would be a wonderful thing if you did that. I would encourage you to look through this because it might spark something inside of you. So a couple of months ago, I had a guy come to me and he said, hey, that helpful verses that you handed out last year, we gave out a sheet like this last year. We've expanded it this year, so there's even more verses, so this one's even better. So you can throw the last one away because I know you carry that around with you. Which is what this guy did. He carried it around with him and he put it in his wallet and he said, I would often just unfold it when I was discouraged or disappointed or anxious or whatever, and I would read through all of these different verses and I found it to be very helpful. He actually wore the sheet out. He showed it to me first hour. It was threadbare. And so he was really excited about getting another sheet of helpful verses. You can do that, but I do want to encourage you to zero in on one verse or a couple of verses that you can kind of claim as your own. And if this sheet is helpful to you, then take advantage of that and use it. Okay, that's how you do it. Now, I want to share with you my verse for 2016. Really excited about this verse. And I've been searching and looking for about the past 60 days for a verse. At first, I had a little bit of a struggle. I was looking for something specific that was tied to my work as a leader and a pastor and a shepherd and what God is doing here at Valley Point, because how I lead and what God is doing in my heart and life certainly impacts all of you and our church. And so I was really searching for something that would kind of speak into what's going on here at Valley Point and the very bright future that I think God has for us. And so I began to search and I came across a verse that I'm going to read to you. And I just want to encourage you, even if you're skeptical, like, you don't know about finding a verse, just do it, all right? And see what God does through that verse for you this year. Just give it a shot. I would encourage you to do that. So here's my verse for 2016. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I don't have it memorized yet. I'm working on that, so I'm going to read it right from my Bible. It says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Right? Like I found this and it just jumped off the page at me. Like, man, I got to work enthusiastically for the Lord. I love this word. It actually means to abound or to exceed. So when I think about my work in leading and being a part of Valley Point Church, I want it to abound and I want it to exceed. And so I have this strong sense that in 2016, I have to work enthusiastically for God with the promise, this wonderful promise here, that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. That's super encouraging to me. You know, it's 2016. I turned 46 this year. Some people think that's old. Other people don't think it's old. I don't know. I don't really get wrapped up into that. I just know that this is a very big year for us as a church. And I want to be sure that what God is doing inside of me and what I share with you communicates that I am abounding and exceeding in what God is doing on the inside, and I am working enthusiastically and laying it all on the line for God's work right here at Valley Point Church. I have a fire in my soul right now. I have an enthusiasm for following God and being very obedient to Him in every way that I possibly can. And I have a fire inside of me to help Valley Point prevail. I want us to be a bright light. I want us to make a real impact in the communities around us and beyond. I want us to be the kind of church that if we weren't here, somebody would say, hey, whatever happened to that church that met at the middle school? Like, where did they go? They were great people. They were compassionate and generous, and they made a real difference here, and I kind of miss them. I have a fire in my soul to build that kind of church and to be a part of that, and I see that happening here, and it's so encouraging. You know, we have some big things in front of us as a church this year. God willing, we have a groundbreaking, and I hope to come back to you in a short time to give you more information about what's happening with that. But God willing, that happens in 2016. We have more impact, more people to invite, more schools to serve. There's just more out in front of us. I think we are only beginning to scratch the surface. And I believe this community and the communities around us desperately need a church that is thinking about others, and I want to enthusiastically, with everything inside of me, lead that kind of church. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is true of you, by the way. Be strong and immovable. Always work. Like, no days off. Gotta be on all the time. Always work enthusiastically. Abound. Exceed. For the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. That's my verse. Now it's your time to search and to pick and to find something that's meaningful and memorable, that invokes emotion in you, that you can hang on to for this entire year. All right, let's come back to our list here and make sure we've walked through everything. We talked about the Valley Point statement, why God breathed this out. And all of the words are useful, and all of Scripture is authoritative for us. We talked about the uniqueness of Scripture, and just because it's unique doesn't mean you can rule it out. Just because we can't understand it doesn't mean it can be dismissed. We talked about the chronological order and how we can read in a dynamic way and find out what some of these different authors are saying and providing comments on that historical timeline. How do you find a verse? Well, pick your time, your place, and your plan, and then just pick something that's meaningful and memorable to you. And my verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. All right, we have two takeaways today. Ready for this? Number one, search. You got to start the process. And I want you to take a good 7 days here and just begin searching. And whether that's in your Bible, on your device, if you want to take this sheet, just search. And again, I will say, we owe it to ourselves to walk through this. We really do. Now, occasionally I have people say to me, I don't think you can read the Bible. It's just too hard. Just too hard. And I don't get excited about that. I'm not going to argue with people, but I just don't think that's true. I don't think it's hard. Coaching the Eagles is hard. Clearly, right? Like, that's a difficult thing to do. Giving birth to a baby, that's hard. Reading Scripture is not hard. Now, it may be difficult to understand, but the actual reading part is something that we can do. And so I want to encourage you to search. And then secondly, pick. Pick a verse or two or three that you want to anchor your souls for this coming year. And I hope that you have a marvelous week searching and investigating and looking for that meaningful and that memorable verse. Next week, you're going to have the chance to hear from 4 or 5 Valley Pointers who are going to share their life verse with you, and I'm going to get the chance to talk to them and have them share. I think you're really going to enjoy this. Look, we all can do this. So have a fun week. searching and looking for your verse. And then next week, you'll also have the chance to write down what that verse is. And we're going to have a wonderful time. I hope that you'll be here. Father, we're grateful for some time this morning to think through life verse 2016. God, it's a new year. Pray that you'd help us to walk through this wisely. We don't know what's going to come this year. We may know a few things, but ultimately, we don't know everything. We don't know what's going to happen next week or next month or several months down the road. God, it's likely that there will be some things that will kind of shake us a bit. And so I pray that you'd help us all to do the hard work of searching for some words from your Bible that you breathed out that we can hang on to and claim for this year that will bring hope and stability into our lives. God, help us to work really hard at this and bring us back next week ready to just have a great time thinking about our verses. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We'd also love to have you join us on any Sunday morning as well at the Garnet Valley Middle School at 9:15 or 11 a.m.